Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of many companies. Colin, welcome back. How's things?
Very good, thank you. And how are you?
Yeah, all good. Busy as ever and that. It's all good here. I believe you've been out to Zimbabwe of late. Do you want to give us an update on how things are going there?
Yeah, things are going very well. It's always been a country of mine, a favourite country. You know, it's absolutely endowed with minerals, quite a few of them, which is tomorrow's metal, you know, tomorrow's world. And it certainly is the centre of lots of attraction for lithium. You know, it's the interesting thing about Zimbabwe is that it's kind of always been a relatively small mining culture surrounded by large mining cultures. I've held the view for a long time, and nothing's changed, is that there's actually plenty of room for consolidation, plenty of room for big mines, central plants, and doesn't matter which commodities you're talking about, opportunities in a lot of them to do just that. So I think, you know, the impression I got was Zimbabwe is definitely open for business, for mining business as well. And I was afforded a very, very good reception. I met the minister, the Honourable Mr. Chitando, who was the Minister of Mines, Mining Development, met the Secretary as well, Mr. Kanuka, and it was really very well received. And they're very interested, you know, conversely, as much as I was interested in what the potential is, they were interested in the perception in the world and, you know, how things are going at the moment and how they see the demand for the metals that they are endowed with. So really very constructive, well received, with a group of senior people who are absolutely committed, a very busy office, a group of people who are absolutely committed to growth of what is their indigenous heritage and well-placed, well-fitted for tomorrow's world.
I mean, there's been sort of uncertainty in policy and shortage of foreign currency, but is it getting better sort of mining in the jurisdiction of Zimbabwe?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. As I say, the door is well and truly open. They're writing a new mining bill to encourage foreign investment, local investment, of course, and they're all addressing all of those issues which the mining investment world needs, you know.
Yeah, just looking at some of the stats on gold production and nickel, and it does seem that, you know, according to the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe, that these production numbers are really on the up. Sort of 19.5 tons of in 2020 gold, nickel production increasing, you know, to 9,000 tons in 2019, up from 7,000. So I think it's certainly getting there, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the start, though. You know, but PGMs, I mean, we've got this geological structure, the Great Dike, which is quite, to me, sad that when eventually we get round to fuel cells and we go through the electrification trauma, it's a few years yet, but fuel cells will be the thing. And no Great Dike, not enough platinum, certainly, to fuel the fuel cells. And likewise, nickel, you know, the nickel potential is not yet being fully explored. And I think there are those in the world who will say that copper is limited. I'm not sure about that either. But of course, the big story is lithium. And we at Galileo are very well placed with 520 kilometers of pegmatite surrounding the Wakama TV mine. My Twitter page tomorrow will show some pictures of some rocks which have just emerged over the last week, in fact, from that prospect. Within Galileo, we've got the opposite of the Wakama TV, which we're very excited about, which was an old tin mine, and we've got tin anomalies too. We've got down near Bulawayo, we've got a really big, we flew the place, and we've discovered quite large anomalies, extensions of the Queens area. And in so doing, we found old Jamaican rocks, which could and should be host to nickel. Now, the next bit is to find out how deep and what kind of structure it will be. There's a suggestion it might actually be sill-like, flattish, and so we may do some more geophysics to just get the attitude and orientation of the host. So very excited, really, about the old situation.
Yeah, I was just looking again. I mean, you mentioned this in the past. This, I believe, that the Wakama TV is basically reprocessing of tailings from the tin mine. Is that right, to extract the lithium?
Well, that's what we're not doing. That's what I think it's a Chinese group doing it. that's what drew me there in the first place, Phil, was that they've got 0.58% lithium in tailings. So they were mining a tin mine, and out came these tailings, and nobody was interested until the lithium story changed it. So you can imagine, Phil, that if you go into tailings at this 0.58, nobody cared about them in the old days. And so they were lost in process. I'm sure that 0.58 commenced life as more than 1%. So I would very encourage to get involved with companies. And we bought ourselves into one company, which is concessions, licenses all around Cabotive. And I say we put together, I don't think it's been overlooked really, but we put together, I think it's 520 square kilometers of pegmatite around there. And we sent over 1,000 samples away. And the story is just unfolding. And as I say, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. And look up those rocks. We'll be quite envisioned. We're encouraging to those who know what lithium and what lithium-based rocks look like. So now I feel very, very good. It's been a very good trip. But always, you know, in the past, working in Zimbabwe has been a strain. Very nice people to work with. Very progressive, but very industrious. And so a good place to be. And I think they're probably in the right place at the right time.
So, Colin, we're in Southern Africa. So we've got Zimbabwe, we've got Zambia, we've got South Africa itself, we've got Mozambique, we've got Namibia, and all of those places and some others. You are involved in different companies. So tell us a little bit about Zambia, having just visited that there when we were down there through Indaba.
Well, Zambia, of course, like Zimbabwe, has got a long history of mining, particularly copper. And there was a distinction I made earlier in this podcast, was that those mines in Zambia started in 1920, some of them, Kitwe, Mafalaria, Chingolo started a bit later. And now here we are in 2023, and the SOB shaft of Kitwe have got a 50-year mine life. So very big mines, and I think in 73 they got as high as 750,000 tons of copper, and I'm not sure now if they're expecting, you know, that this order they'll be going over 1 million tons of copper. So Zambia is a big copper player in the world. Some manganese, very little coal for open purposes. There's been some few emerald mines there, as there has in Zimbabwe too, but copper, cobalt has been the mainstay of Zambia. Politically, very similar evolvement over the years. And whatever you say about Zambia, you can say from a different standpoint. As I say, smaller mine, capable of consolidation. What you say about one, you can say about the other. Willing nations, willing to join in tomorrow's world, and well-placed to do so in terms of the mineral endowment.
So how does that sit with what assets you have in that country with Galileo and Extract?
Well, as you know, Galileo is very well positioned. It's got the Lowensovi copper project, which we're turning into account. That shouldn't be too long before it's a mine. We're going out to tender shortly. We now fully understand the metallurgical characteristics. And we've got this nice Shinganda project, which presents itself with copper gold in Galileo. And of course, over in Botswana, another African country, we've got that very interesting joint venture with Sankofa, with properties which are ours and properties which are theirs. And so when you think about it, we're very well positioned. If one goes to Zimbabwe, gold, nickel, lithium, tin. When you go to South Africa, copper and gold. We're mine ready. I guess that if one sort of looks at the technical status of the projects, the Zimbabwe ones are earlier, but I think you could actually call the Kamativi green fields, if you're talking tin anyway, brown fields. If one's talking about Zambia, of course, the Lowensovi project has raced the front end as much as it's drilled out. We understand the tonnages, grades. We're in a position to give the contractors the open pit geological model, the rock diagrams, what have you. And so, and that's getting very serious and moving towards production. And of course, we've satisfied the uncertainty. Will it grade up and will it travel? So that's all good stuff. So in both companies, good positions, strong positions in the new age metals.
Very good. And if we move across the continent to Mozambique and the gold and extract, what's happening there?
Well, thank God the rains have stopped. I mean, the mining gold, the operations are opening up extremely nicely. The plant is working. They've ironed out some of the issues there that, you know, let's face it, when you start any plant, processing plant, there are issues. They've all been sorted out. We're producing gold towards the rate that we expected. The stores are basically full of the reagents, the materials that one wants on working capital. And so, quite frankly, we're it's living right up to expectation. We're very interested in the way the geology is panning out. We had this definition of oxide ore, sulfide ore, and then, you know, a transition ore. And I think I've said a few times, transition means a lot of things to a lot of people. A mining engineer transition, basically, and he'll keep digging. And when it stops paying for itself, he'll stop digging. A metallurgist will more or less be the same as the mining engineer. When it gets too tough to get the metal out, you've got to spend too much money. Then, of course, the processing plant can't handle it. The geologist will go there and put ticks on the core and say, that's transition, that's oxide, and that's sulfide. And quite frankly, that's the most dangerous part of the operation, because the only really question is, after all these technical definitions of sulfide, of refractory, all of the expressions that you get, you're in a good position that if you can process and sell, and it costs you, and you get more for what it costs, you've got a viable business, especially when you paid for your plan, you know, you paid for your infrastructure. So it's quite interesting that, and I don't want to make too many early promises and too many early prognoses, but it does look like that transition zone may be a lot more amenable than that probably might have been originally thought. So yes, the operation in Mozambique is going to produce it and pouring gold on a regular basis. The rains have been a bit disruptive. The last 2 months more of a nuisance than a disruption. So yes, that operation is going very well.
And do you see, you've obviously alluded to that anyway, but you see the longevity of that project being able to be stretched?
I mean, all the opportunities now are for incremental marginal returns. Because let's face it, there's going to be that day when transitions become sulfides. Sulfides might not do exactly what I said, i.e. produce more money than it costs to produce them. What we will then do is have a flotation plant at the end there, produce a flotation product. And so when one looks at the incremental cost of capital and operating, where the general infrastructure is paid for, and that's an obvious next step. And if you looked at past podcasts, news releases, you will know that it's quite strange that ore body, it doesn't grade. Typically, ore body is a bit like a carrot. They pinch out, and then towards the bottom, the grade drops. This carrot, in actual fact, the grades have got a tendency to increase. And there's some nice grades being reported at depth. And the deepest hole ain't that deep either, Kevin. And we've already got a program of drilling to the west of the pit where we're testing for more oxides. And we've got placed in between Dots Luck and the old Duke's mine where we're testing. And we've identified in all 11 places where we might explore, four of which are immediately available for our present operation. So not only are we busy with today's gold production, we're busy making sure that that's a lasting, sustainable operation. We cannot wait, you know. If we sit around waiting for the oxide transitions to deplete and then scratch our heads and say, right, do we build a sulfide plant? We have to make this mine last longer. That decision's got to be made in the next few months, you know, that we've now left most superficial near surface stuff. We're getting into hard rock. So it's basically now explore. Well, it's confirm to the existing pit. It's explore for additional reserves, which are oxides and treatable transition. And then, of course, it's drill for more sulfides and do engineering to see what a plant would look like to produce a flotation concentrate. You know what it looks like. So really, it's not what it looks like. It's what it costs and what will be the cost of operation and what will be the differential net present value. But, you know, as I know, that when most of the infrastructure is paid for, you're in quite a good position.
Yeah, and with gold spiking a bit this weekend, it's gone up 3-4%, I think.
No wonder. Well, no wonder as well with what's going off.
Yeah, with what's going on in the world. So while we're in this Southern Africa swing, then tell us a little bit about AFP and Namibia and the other assets that it's got.
Well, AFP, basically it's the same old record, isn't it? African Pioneer, of course, got blessed with that joint venture with First Quantum. And we've announced on a couple of occasions now, we're pretty confident we've found the Kamoa-style mineralization. For the life of me, gentlemen, I cannot see why that's gone over the top of the market. I mean, Kamoa, Ivanhoe, second biggest mine in the world. Grades are between 4.5% and 7%. And we say we've bit the same features in our joint venture partner, and nobody seems to just sort of take too much recognition of it. Does surprise me, even though the world's a bit challenged at the moment. And then, of course, it really does get better, because the near-surface material, I think, that was thought to be traditional copper belt, and when in actual fact, you're looking more like Kowil's Kolwezi-style mineralization. But Kolwezi-style mineralization, that was 2.5-3% copper. Again, near surface, you know, with a hell of a strike, big strike length to be investigated. And that our partners first wanted to be doing just that, bringing the machines in. Everything's ready for the off, and drying out now. Rains are subsiding, if not stopped. And with more machines than any junior could possibly work in that area. So African Pioneer, very pleased about. Ongombo is in the final stages of its ore resource estimation after it's done its drilling for the open pit. We're now playing about with cutoffs, playing about with what's the depth of the eye wall, and an optimum design where we go into the open pit, into the eye wall for an underground mine. So that's going well. And of course, Open Gorup and Byzant, that's extremely good down in the desert there in Open Gorup. And we're in the final stages there of doing a new ore resource and laying our plans for this. Between Open Gorup, we've got 17 kilometers of potential drilling. But of course, did in our geophysics, which we did a couple of years ago, identify up to 56 kilometers away more, well, a really, really good anomaly in the middle of the Maxlis deposit out there in the Open Gorup desert. So these companies are very well placed, and copper gets its knock, you know, against what's happening in the world. But the number of commentators who are out there every day of the week saying, where's the copper from? Coming from Jeremy Ware, Trafigura, the chief of BHP, the chief of Anglo American Corporation. Gary Nagel had things to say the other day as well, Glencore. Oh, you know, it's not just the little old gunning birds and the junior sector trying to talk up copper. This is real people. This is real businesses. This is multi-billion dollar pound businesses who basically got to give his world its copper tomorrow. And quite frankly, he's wondering how he's going to do it. So say what you like. You know, you can't get as many setbacks and headwinds as you have now. But copper is in actual fact holding up against all of that. So it bodes very well for when we get some clarity into the world that copper, I really believe the price is heading for 10,000 as soon as we get the remotest bit of overall clarity.
Okay, my last question takes us away from Africa and zooms us down to Australia. Just give us your thoughts on Bushranger right now.
Oh, Bushranger, I mean, that one has got the sort of, that's the worst reception based on the fact that we've announced to the market. We tend to go all sorted. That surprises me somewhat, because all sorted 20 years ago meant a bunch of ladies either side of a table going at very, very slow, picking off the good from the bad. All sorting now is very scientific. It's not expensive. You're only into a few million dollars to handle quite large tonnages. And if you could imagine, I think the most significant thing in my quote, when we announced we were going to do all, you know, when we had that pause with the study, and we announced that we were going all sorted, the biggest, the most relevant remark I made was an example of 87% retention of metal against a 50% presentation of material to the back end of the circuit. That is phenomenal in terms of the capital you need to employ, expenses that you need to operate and expenses during your production phase, and the effect on the infrastructure. Again, that's sent to be not talked about. Oh, the reaction was they're going all sorted. They can't make this thing work. Now, if you can make, you know, when you're basically looking at the project, you go down avenue, you leave none closed. And so I think a formal all sorting test work program will be the most intelligent thing this company can do, the Dextrite can do. And it stands a very good chance of bringing the economics exactly where we want them to be. And you know, remember that there's a strong association with pyrrhotite. So we should be talking maybe conductivity, maybe magnetics. But you know, the technology has improved so big, so much against the cost profile and the overall effect on the business. that we couldn't really give this project Bushranger any justification unless we did it. And of course, it doesn't end there, Bill and Kevin, is that you're making that shell, that pit shell work. Because if you can get 0.27 or 0.42, if you can take 0.38 to 0.6, you actually restructure the entire geology then. And then basically the pit shell, how much you're at what grade, in two increments, of course, high grade and mid grade, maybe a low grade component once you've all sorted, it readjusts the pit shell. So, we paused because the successful inclusion of all sorting in our overall plans will require a complete relook at every single aspect, what makes up the economics of this project. So that's ongoing I wouldn't say as we sit. I'm sure they're not working on a Sunday, but this is ongoing.
Okay, and I said it was my final question, but actually I just want you to give us a bit of an overview of the cycle, because the cycle's eventually going to end up with battery storage and vanadium. That brings me sweetly on to Kendrick. So what is the situation going on there with Kendrick?
Well, Kendrick's very good, of course. Now, I know I'd probably sound very optimistic today, but I'm optimistic for the group of companies we've got. We've been drilling down, as you know, in Kendrick. We've been drilling in Norway, and I think it was an 87% success rate. And so we've got some really nice nickel discoveries there. We're talking to groups of companies in the world about small mining. We're staying very close to the community. And we structured our team there to be knowledgeable on the area and the concerns that people might have in Scandinavia about new mines. So all that's working on a base. And we've been doing our leaching and ionic leaching, and with physics, geochemistry, field work up in Sweden there near Kiruna. And that has been very, very encouraging. Not only about vanadium, but about other metals too, which we'll be talking about later. So that's working very well. There are other business potential around there in terms of vanadium and the vanadium recovery from old dumps and that, which again is, to me, quite enticing. So
yeah, Martin Churchhouse is, you've appointed him as a managing director or CEO. And we're going to try and catch up with him in the next few weeks to get a bit of a more comprehensive look at Kendrick, if anyone's interested in that.
Well, that's great. That's absolutely great. We've got Vasilius as our manager as well, the Martin. So we've recruited a chief geologist who is local as well. And we've reduced our dependency on local consultancy companies, and we've got our own team. And it's a very dynamic team, whichever aspect you look at it. So maybe we should put the old team on and do a little, I definitely support that. And I think it's a great idea to meet some of our new team members.
Yeah. And as we discussed before, I think, partly in Darba and partly just on podcasts that we've talked, we hope that we will revisit you guys in maybe October or November and come down to that part of Africa again, and maybe visit other countries, whether it be Botswana, Namibia, Mozambique, just to give people an overview of the assets in all of your companies. So hopefully we can do that later in the year.
And we talk about October, and you came in February. Yep. Everything goes to plan on the projects. All of them will be basically a different color to when you came. We should be talking about a low and sobe where we're breaking the earth and getting ready for production, if not producing. You'll be talking about a gold mine, which is really settled down in Mozambique. You'll talk about Shiganda, which now has, is at its third drilling program, if you like, and much better understanding of the ore body. You'll be talking about a defined resource and hopefully mine modeling, if not, once again, cutting the earth down in open Gara. And so whichever way you look at it, tremendous. You know, the next few months are very exciting on tight budgets, but to get tight budgets against great projects, which are drawing international interest. Because as we all know, stock markets are very difficult at the moment, but the international private concern is not diminishing. Neither is the major mining companies' quest and need for availability of these metals and good-sized ore bodies in which to plan their future. Because let's face it, it won't be African Pioneer and Galileo who have to fill the smelters, who have to fill the London Metal Exchange, have to provide the car makers. It will be the major producers, and they are so short of new copper inventory that it is probably the most difficult situation I've ever seen in the industry when one looks at the potential supply against what is real demand. So interesting times, gentlemen. I know there's a lot of Edwin, but I'm as optimistic, if not more, than I've ever been.
My last question is from Indaba. It really did occur to me that there was a lot of interest, a lot of small miners looking for more ground, looking for more opportunities in Africa, especially for whether it be copper, whether it be lithium, whether it be gold. So do you anticipate that your companies will have the option or optionality to add stuff over the coming year?
That is a very good question, if I may say. And the only answer I can give to that is thank God we started that process in 2017. And it's not confined to the smaller guys. Of course, they, you know, the aeroplanes are a bit fuller down to the various countries we talk. They're a lot fuller to some. But the majors have suddenly woke up to the fact that they need ground. And all sorts of new investors are coming in, as you saw with Bill Gates and what have you. And the lives are changing. And quite frankly, I would have struggled with that question. If I was just starting this endeavor that we're talking about, if I was just starting the mission, it would be both expensive. It would be very expensive, possibly not doable. But, you know, we started, and I think that we're in pole position. We might be small companies, but we basically were in pole position because, let's get forgetted about ourselves, I was going to say, because we had the vision. But we did turn what we thought was copper demand into real action on the ground to secure positions. And that hasn't stopped either. But you're so right when you say their competition at the moment for good ground is horrendous. And there, quite frankly, for good ground, there isn't any. You're going to have to buy it. You're not going to be able to start from green fields. It's going to be the major companies in buy it where there's been some activity and some value add. So I think the juniors should look forward in 2023, 2024 to the acquisition phase where, to me, acquisition phase, which has never before been seen in history. And when you think about it, that's a bold statement. When our sector is in the doldrums, people are totally exasperated with the share price. Companies are totally exasperated with the share price. And I'm suggesting that there's going to be a feeding bonanza in 23, 24, 25. Let's see. Someone's going to be right, somebody's going to be wrong. But
No, there was news out even in the last few days that Volkswagen have actually decided that they're going to go straight to the mines and try and secure their supply. So it's not just about the mining companies anymore. I think the OEMs are going to come in and look to protect and achieve their supply. I think in a lot of different industries. You know, we see it in the coal industry as well. We see it in lithium. I think we'll see it in copper. We'll see it in gold to a degree that people will start to buy net smelter royalties because they want access to that gold. So, yeah, I think it's going to happen, and there's going to have to be a lot of people shelling out money to buy these things over the coming years.
You were expressing a lot of foresight there, Kevin, and I think you're absolutely right. The most telltale thing, isn't it, that the people who need the metals are going to bypassing the metal traders and getting their own positions, because it's not even price anymore, it's security and stability of supply. And what's the net effect of that going to be, Phil? The net effect of that is that the traders now are more aggressive in taking positions, because they're going to be left out in the cold if the users are going to make all the deals. So I'm seeing now alliances between traders and end users, which are basically not just buying something and selling it on, but are actually going to would-be producers, explorers, and getting deals, because the trader's not going to be left out in the cold either. So this, of course, shut out the money supply to the junior miners to bring their projects to account. So it's absolutely right, Kevin. The dynamics are changing and changing rapidly.
Thanks very much for your time, Colin. It's been a pleasure as always. We'll look forward to you updating the market soon.
Yeah, we've had a lot to talk about, but it's a pretty exciting place to be. And I think you've got to keep your head up and start look at the stars, not look at the floor. But that's the way the money is made. So thank you very much for your time, as always. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Colin.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.